Blog Talk Radio.
Show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, Pop Art Painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. I am very, very excited. Hey, first off, I want to address something. Yesterday's show, I was not aware of this. I got a couple of DMs, what the youngsters are calling them these days, from people like on Facebook and on Instagram and stuff. And apparently, no, we were not doing shooting a remake of Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds yesterday. It's just the weather was nice. I had the house open. We were having one of those rare cold snaps here in South Florida, you know, down in the 70s. So I opened up the house, and, you know, we have screens and all that kind of stuff. But I must have been listening to it all day and didn't notice. Apparently there was a flock of birds outside making all kinds of noise that some people found or noticed. I don't know. I guess they found it distracting. I apologize about that. I was not aware. But today I've got the house all locked up because, you know, it's back in the low 80s, baby. And, you know, I have to have the air on. So we're all spoiled here. Anyway, it solved the bird problem. But so don't worry about it, man. Everything's fine. There was that guy with his eyes pecked out in the back room. No, I'm kidding, but that was the scariest scene. I remember Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds correctly. Anyway, today's episode, we have a fantastic, very cool actor, actress, writer. David directed this film. This is a very cool film. I watched it last week for the first time, and then I rewatched it last night because it's just one Danny hadn't seen it, my wife. And I said, you really got to check this out because, fun fact, as many of you know, she's a sculptress and so is one of the main characters in this film. And the film is called Sweet Parents, and I would like to welcome, without further ado, Mr. David Bly and Mrs. Leah Rudick. Hopefully I'm saying Leah's last name correctly. Hi, guys.
You got it.
How are you?
Hi.
Hi. We're great. Thanks. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I thoroughly, really liked your film. It's an amazing drama, and you know, for you guys may not know this or not, I'm not in the movie business. I'm a painter by trade. I paint pictures of people and stuff for a living, and man, done that a long time. And I've known a couple people in a similar situation that the protagonists and Sweet Parents find themselves in. Personally been in that situation. Nobody liked me enough to put me in that situation, but I've known people who are, who have been. Where did this idea come from for the whole idea of Sweet? Maybe we should explain what Sweet Parents kind of is first, right?
Yeah, sure. So Sweet Parents is a term we came up with that sort of encapsulates the sugar mama, sugar daddy relationship. It's sort of a catch-all for that whole style of arrangement. And Sweet Parents, the film, is about a couple that's living in New York, Gabby, who's a sculptor, and Will, who's a chef. And they've been there for a long time, and they move there with big aspirations of pursuing their passions. And after many years of being there and eking it out, they just feel like they're struggling to get by, and they get this fast-track piece of advice from a friend of a friend who says that if you want to survive in New York the way that the city has evolved, you need to have a sugar mama or a sugar daddy or a sweet parent. And so this couple that had genuine aspirations and really passionate about their careers hates this advice, but then eventually sort of organically unintentionally starts these relationships with a successful older man and woman, ultimately to the detriment of their own relationship. So it's sort of a film about the sacrifices necessary to achieve your dreams, and whether or not it's would you, the one you love, to do what you love?
Man, and that's a heavy question. That is a heavy, heavy question.
Yeah, be grateful that you haven't had to answer it. You know, you haven't had a three parents in your own life. You're better off.
You know what? It's true. I've been fortunate personally to have, I haven't had it on that level, but I definitely have had people that have helped me out. I remember, I was living in San Diego and I had a condominium and I was painting in my kitchen and a friend of mine came over and she was a real estate gal. And she said, "Did you just open your oven and take out some paint? Are you cooking paint?" I said, "No, I've never turned the oven on. I use it as a shelf." And she's like, "We got to get you a studio, man. This is ridiculous, you know?" And lo and behold, suddenly I had this giant place for really, I don't know, a fifth of what it should be renting out for, because she knew a person and, you know, finagled a deal and what. So I've had situations like that, but never people just, "Here's a check. Go. Don't worry about working this year." You know.
I've
always had to hustle a little more. Your movie brings out a good point. We all think and go, "Oh, well, that would be great if somebody could just write me a check for, you know, $70,000 a year or something, and I could do or whatever, you know, depending on your situation, and I could just do my passion." But would you pick that door if you were going to lose the love of your life in picking it?
Exactly.
I don't know, man.
And I think the path we tried to take with the film was where, I mean, this trope of this style of relationship of age disparity isn't a new thing in movies or in the zeitgeist. It's been around for a long time, and even more so now. But I think where a lot of those films focus on is the sexual relationship between these characters.
Right.
And I think that's the thing that we really try to veer away from, because it really isn't about that, at least for this story. I think it's when Leah and I were working on this film, it felt like to just focus on the sexual components of jealousy had been done. But if you focus on, like, if you're madly in love with someone and want more than anything for them to succeed, and you would do anything possible to help them, and yet you ultimately feel like you're failing, and then someone else can just come in and with the snap of a finger change their life in an instant, what that does to your own feeling of self-worth, and it's the jealousy of self-worth as opposed to the jealousy of a sexual cheating nature that we try to focus on. And so, if you're posed that, like, dilemma of would I give up the love of my life for this, it means a lot more. The decision all of a sudden carries so much more weight when it's not as bogged down by the sexual jealousy, which we've seen before, but on the just like, this is everything that I want for that other person. And,
right,
you know, what a feeling of failure that can be.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, on the other side of it, I've known people that did give up their dream. You know what I mean? And, you know, they're 60 years old now, and people are slamming doors and shutting cabinets real hard. And, you know, and you see that and you're like, "Oh gosh." These are heavy duty thoughts, you know, that, and I'll tell you, I've watched the movie twice so far, and each time afterwards, I've come away from it thinking about these things, you know. It's one of those films. Yeah, it's great art where it isn't, I don't put it on in the background and waste a couple, you know, some time. It draws you in, and, you know, it's one of those things where you're thinking about it afterwards. I think that's fantastic, and I love films like that personally.
Absolutely.
Now, have you guys put this? I know the world, especially the world of cinema right now, is kind of weird, you know, with all the world the way it is and everything right now. So I guess a lot of film festivals have been pushed back and whatnot. Do you guys, had you guys put this out at festivals yet? Or is that, do you think, in the future when things kind of click back?
We did a festival run in 2017-2018, and we did a few festivals. We premiered it at the Brooklyn Film Festival, and so it's kind of worked out that now it's being released for the world to see. It, like, the fact that it's coinciding with people spending so much time inside is actually great. You know, because
right.
people are finding they do have 2 hours to sit down and watch an indie film.
And I think a lot of people are feeling claustrophobic in their homes as well right now and missing being out. And I think that's like a theme that we targeted for the home life of Gabby and Will, is that claustrophobic feeling of their lives just like spilling over onto each other's. Gabby spilling out onto Will's chef stuff, the cooking utensils, and vice versa. And yeah, it's like a perfect time for this sentence.
Yeah.
And I, in the movie, they had been in that. I mean, I don't want to give anything away. I want people to watch it. But they were in their apartment for a minute, you know, a little bit there. And
It was supposed to be a temporary place, just like a temporary holdover. And when they achieved some success, they would move on to bigger and better. And so often is the case that you just get stuck in a routine and a pattern in a home life that you can't believe years have passed.
You wake up and decades have passed.
That happens, man. You guys are probably too young for that to have seriously happened, though. But well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how old you are, but it does happen. I mean, that happened to me in California. You know, I 10 years like that, and I'm like.
Yeah.
I think I've been here a couple months.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. That, I mean, we were both in New York for about 10 years, and I feel like it did go by in a blink of an eye. I mean, it, you know, it's crazy.
Absolutely. I tell you, the other weird thing that happened to me is I had that, when that happened, I started doing math in my head, and I started adding up the money I had been spent, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, hey. I could be living like a king in Nashville or Tennessee or someplace.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
But
I mean, we moved
I planned
from New
on
York
moving,
to LA.
But I never made it. Well, LA can be spendy too. LA can be spendy
yeah.
too. You
for
know?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if
we didn't really like. We didn't save much on the move.
Yeah.
That's me. I moved to South Florida, and I'm like, I think I'm spending the same amount. And it's humid.
Yeah.
You but I met a girl.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
yeah.
It'll happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, got a house and all that. So I'm spending the same amount, but, you know, I got more perks. So it's worth it. But really, it's so weird because you're right. You get caught up in it. Now, did you guys always know that film was what, like when you were younger, were you guys like the film couple, you know, like you guys were making films and stuff? Everybody kind of knew that was a big part of your identity.
Like the camcorder kids?
Yeah.
No.
Like you're going around
filming
stuff?
We both started as actors. We actually met in an acting class in New York. And I think both of us kind of have theater backgrounds. So we definitely came at it from that vantage point as opposed to like, the more traditional filmmaker route.
Both of us came at it from an acting angle, but like, I mean, I know for myself, I was obsessed with watching films growing up and would just like pull up in front of the television with like a stack of VHSs or DVDs. Like I was just collecting every movie I could. And just obsessed with like the idea of being in movies, making movies, not really sure. It was only when I moved to New York that like the idea of being able to make a movie, not just be in a movie as an actor, started to rear its head. And I think, I wish I could have that story of being a camcorder kid, but I think I was just too busy doing a Steve Urkel impression and trying to do weird characters as a kid.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. If you are at higher risk, you should stay home as much as possible and avoid close contact with people who are sick to protect yourself. Call your doctor if you have concerns about COVID-19 and your medical condition, or if you get sick. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
No, I hear you, man. I hear you. It's interesting because, so many people, well, you guys are doing it though. You know, you're making movies. You got a movie and it's out right now. This movie is dropped. People can watch this, right? It's available on streaming.
Yeah. It's out now on VOD, on Amazon, on Apple TV, iTunes, on Google Play, on Microsoft. It's crazy. Like we have our film is finally out after been almost 14 years that this movie's been in development, from like the initial scripting phase to a long scripting phase to many more years of scripting phase and just hoping to raise funds. And then production was like between four and five years ago. Festivals was 3 years ago. And it's surreal that it's finally out.
That's awesome though. How cool is that, man? Especially, it was such a journey like that, you know, I mean, and here it is, you guys are out, people got to be digging this. I'm telling you, I'm not that off usually on films. I bet people are really digging this, especially in the creative world, you know, like all the creative people I know totally get this.
We've been getting some really great feedback, some really great response, which has been really nice. It's nice to get some validation after all that. time and work put into it.
I think the hardship has been resonating with a lot of people, either with people that are currently experiencing it or people that just like left it behind because it was too difficult, you know? So I think people look at this film as sort of I was once like that and I can feel good about my decision, or I can maybe not feel good about my decision. I think it hits a lot of people close to home, which is what we've been hearing, which has been really, really satisfying.
Oh, absolutely, man. I'm telling you, I live in South Florida. There are a lot of cats with man caves with 10 guitars up on the wall. Now these guys have money and they, you know, their kids are grown and stuff. They can, you know, they're all trying to do bands. They all were before COVID happened. And,
yeah.
You know, and that kind of put a damper on things a little bit. But yeah, that kind of, you know, they all started out back in the day and then they had families and stuff. And it's like, well, you can't be a rock star and you know, you gotta pay for Catholic school. You know what I mean? It's,
Yeah, they just want
to
shred.
Get to work.
They can't always shred.
Yeah, exactly. No. But it's cool. Now, you two, which is very cool. Now, you both, you know, coming from an acting and theater background and whatnot, in a similar career path and whatnot, was that difficult for you guys doing your thing and whatnot, both being in that world, or would was it easier because you both kind of got it and understood, you know, yeah, we're eating Ritz crackers tonight because we got to get headshots, or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think you often hear about relationships like that, like actors dating actors or, you know, people in the same creative field and that being like problematic. But I think that we got very lucky with each other. I think that, you know, there's never been, it's always been a relationship based on mutual support and building each other up. And, you know, one of our successes is both of our successes. So I think that, I mean, I feel very lucky that we found each other.
Immediately I'm going to respond right after that. So do I. yeah. And I also, fortunately, like taught myself to cook in the early days of writing this film. So going back many, many years. So fortunately, we were able to make something fun out of those Ritz crackers to make an actual hearty meal.
Yeah, otherwise I would just
something foody.
Ritz crackers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I am terrible at cooking. My big go-to, and it's a big deal when Papa cooks around our house. It's you know, but it's nothing exciting. It's grilled cheese. I'm a master at making grilled cheese, but that's about it. And they're not even like
that's a classic.
Gouda grilled cheese with homemade bread. You know, no, it's like regular store bread and slices. It's not even fancy.
I mean, that sounds
but,
delicious.
Yeah.
Though. There's nothing.
Yeah, the wife likes it.
Well, that's what matters.
You know, you guys have probably fancy grilled cheese, and that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, we can just movie people now, you know?
We have those
in Malibu, next to the ocean, big sunglasses.
Right.
There are fancy Hollywood grilled cheese. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's
with
right.
Gold flakes. Gold flakes
right.
Just shaved on top.
Trout. Exactly. Oh, man. Well, this is cool. Well, this movie, Sweet Parents, I want everybody to definitely check it out. You can check it out all over. And we have links, folks. I want to tell you guys, too. And, you know, I'm not throwing shade at anybody, but just as someone who talks to indie filmmakers quite a bit and whatnot, for those if listening who, you know, you're making a movie or you want to or something, make a website for it. It just looks so much more professional. And Sweet Parents has one. They've got a real nice website. And all of their social media match, you know. It's just, that's how you guys can teach a Learning Annex class on how to do it, man. This is the right way.
that's the next step. Yeah.
Teach no one to know. Don't do make another movie. Speaking of which,
sure.
Are the gears turning for the next project?
Yeah, we have a few things in the works. Both of us have a feature that we're in the final stages of writing, and so hopefully, as you know, once the world becomes a little bit more normal, we'll be able to start shooting those things.
Yeah, and we also have both of those scripts are ones that we've been working on sort of independently, but with each other's like guiding voices behind. But now we're starting to. Some wheels are turning on a new idea in the last few weeks on another food-based film that I think we could maybe work on together. A bit of a lighter fare.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I think that's great because I'll tell you something. If my wife, no, I can kind of tell trends by what she, you know, watches on TV. If it isn't a murder show, you know, where some guy's done some woman wrong and she's run over him with a car, she's watching, you know, food shows. And, like I said, she chokes my grilled cheese down every once in a while, but she gets into that stuff, man. And she's, you know, making stuff with like lychees. She's like, yeah, it says lychee. I'm like, what the hell is a lychee? I don't even know of it. Apparently some kind of fruit. It was good. Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was all right. Wasn't an apple. But
you got the three hooks out there.
Well, she's into this, and I think a lot of people are into these cooking shows and just food in general, you know, because it's something people can do, you know, or at least try to do. And I think, you know, like a couple years ago, you had a few movies about wine and wine. I mean, I was watching these movies and I don't know nothing about wine. I mean, liquor and stuff, sure. You know, I was a pretty wild kid when I was younger. But I was like, I need to learn about wine. You know, I don't know anything about wine. I couldn't James Bond out if I wanted to. But there was a bunch of these, you know, and I think the same thing with food films is going to happen because people are into that, you know, they like this stuff.
Yeah.
We actually just watched one of my favorite wine films a couple weeks ago. Have you ever seen A Good Year?
No, but
Russell
I've heard
Crowe
it.
And
I've
Marion
heard of
Cotillard.
It.
It's
oh,
just
yeah.
beautiful. It's
yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I think the food film, the films that have food components are extremely popular. And there's been a couple through the years, like Chef and Burnt over
mm-hmm.
the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's going to be a big wave of them, especially as I think the culinary scene is becoming a bit more outspoken about certain, but also like lack of diversity, and it's like a male-centric industry historically, and now so many kitchens are way more diverse, have a lot more female chefs, and like our favorite restaurant in New York is like it's an all-female badass like. Chef team.
Wow.
I think there's going to be a new wave of. I hope there's going to be a new wave of films that like focus on more diverse kitchens that don't necessarily have the traditional angry male screaming at everybody, which is what we try to avoid. We have that in the beginning of the film, and that's when I just walk out because like that's not the type of restaurant that my character wants to be a part of. But that is definitely
right.
a staple of the restaurant scene. I think movies are going to start to maybe. Show a more broad array of chefs, which would be amazing.
That's awesome, man. That is awesome.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you two episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are two separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Rucks Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Holla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierucks.us.
Well, you know, and I think, I'm telling you, I bet you there's going to be some producers out there with big checkbooks that'll say, brilliant, here's a bunch of money, let's make it. I loved your Sweet Parents movie, and here you go. You know, that's the plan, right?
That would be great.
We're hoping for that conversation to happen verbatim. So you just nailed it. That's exactly the conversation we're hoping to have.
Stephen and Leah,
you
were
half-heartedly
guys are in this
expecting it to happen from you, but yeah.
Oh, well, you know, I have to sell some more paintings.
Yeah.
Tighten the belt a little bit first, but it might be a good investment. No, but you guys are in entertainment, and, you know, that's one of the hard things that I hear all the time, and I can only imagine, you know, it ain't cheap making a film. And especially a feature film, you know, there's a lot to it and whatnot, even on the indie level. And people, you know, it's funny because I was talking to somebody and they're like, oh, well, this is a micro budget film. You know, we only spent $170,000. I'm like, $170,000 doesn't sound very micro to me, but I'm not in that world. You know, if I found 170 grand in the street, I would definitely pick it. If I found a dollar in the street, I would be picking it up. It's very true. But, you know, was part of the length of this, like you had mentioned, was securing finance? Did you guys do like crowdfunding or anything like that?
So it's exactly that. I mean, that was the reason why it took so long to make it. And to be honest, I'm actually relieved that it did take that long, because I think the earliest incarnations of the script, when I was like, oh, I want to make this right away, I'm so grateful that that wasn't the film that got made. Before Leah and I started working on the film together, the script was in a very immature place. And I think it greatly benefited from the collaboration between Leah and myself to make the script more mature, make it more based on our own relationship and our own feelings for one another. And so the script kept evolving throughout the years, and we kept wanting to make it that day, you know, whenever we, like, every single day, we're like, well, I wish we could make this right now. And over the years, we started talking about doing a crowdfunding campaign, and we shot the crowdfunding video, and we were set to launch our campaign, and then miraculously, some financing came through some, like, close investors, like family and some family friends and friends of family and friends and et cetera, that wasn't like a massive chunk of money, but it was enough to make the film just like – it was enough to start the production. So that just like gave us the confidence to just pick a date. And as soon as we set the date, all of these people that we had spoken to for years, whether it was locations, different restaurants that we were actually shot in, or – crew members or cast members that we had talked to, that we had shown the script throughout the years, that were so excited to make this movie, just were waiting for us to pick a date. Once we finally picked that date, they all were just like, yes, let's do it. And we ended up getting so many favors from production houses, et cetera. So like our budget ended up being like the budget that we had, we hadn't raised that amount of money, but we ended up hitting our budget because of so many in-kind contributions, like camera deals and stuff that just like brought our budget down to something that we could actually muster. And it was just like through the good graces of so many people that, like it was a community effort. And you always hear about that and you wonder if that's actually true. And we're a test. Sweet Parents is a testament to the fact that so many people wanted to be involved with something that they believed in. And we'll both forever be grateful to everyone who was involved with this. And it sounds like it's a platitude, but we really mean it.
That's fantastic. And it's such a, you know, for those who aren't in the creative world, you're not, you know, putting it out there or whatnot, it's hard to get this. But for those who are, they will totally understand. Man, there is no better feeling when somebody's digging what you're doing and they get it enough to, you know, especially write a check, you know, that's, or even just offer what they can, you know what I mean? The equivalent of that. And man, that's
time.
That'll get you out of bed in the morning. You know, that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
What happened, you know, I'm kind of glad to hear that the crowdfunding thing, you guys didn't go that, I don't know. I mean, I've heard successes, but more often than not, people I know that have done that route, have gone that route, you know, they're like, oh, man, it's like another 90-hour-a-week job. You know, you really got to be on that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it really is a full-time job.
We were pretty nervous and wary of starting it because we knew that it was going to be – neither one of us is a big we don't, like, ask.
We're not comfortable with it.
Yeah, so I mean, that process is all about just like reaching out to everybody, and like as for $1, $10, $5, and it's just like it's hard on your psyche, on your ego, and I think we just like desperately wanted to make this and wanted to make it, you know, as soon as possible. So we're grateful that like we didn't have to go that route. We were prepared to do it. And we may have to do it again on future projects. And I think, you know, it might be a little bit easier when you have a film in your back pocket as well to show people what you're capable of doing. So,
track record. Yeah, like here it is. You know, you got a portfolio, you know.
Right.
But no, I am the same way, man. We're getting ready to, man, my wife's been after me on for almost a year on this. We're getting ready to launch a Patreon type deal, and I've just been against it, you know, and I've been fighting it until she explained it to me in a better way. She's like, hey, what if you could give people something that they couldn't get anywhere? I'm like, okay, I'm now down for that. You know, but I ain't asking people. I ain't out here begging, you know, I'm not gonna. There's been some conversations.
No, I think it's important to shift the thinking about it, because it really is like, what port artists, you know, there are people out there who do get something out of it. You know, like my younger brother has a podcast, and he just launched a Patreon, and it's really exciting. I feel like it's nice to be able to like support him, even if it's just like $5 a month. It feels like we are getting something from it, you know, something that like the regular public isn't. It feels sort of elite and exciting.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's, you know, and that's all she had to do, you know. So, and you know, my wife knows me well, and she's like, just think of it this way. It's like a VIP room at a club. And I'm like, oh, I get
exactly.
it. Okay.
Exactly.
I
understand.
Exactly. It's bottle service.
Yeah. She's like, nobody's asking you to go do caricatures on the boardwalk, you know. That's my big fear, you know. I'm like, oh, I got a master's degree to do this. That's sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But I mean, and I get it. It's just sometimes I don't like doing that smaller type stuff. But you know. But that's what the cool thing of this film is these people are the characters are kind of trying to navigate that, you know, and break out of that mold, and it's tempting.
Oh man.
I don't want to give anything away from the film. Watch this film. You know, this is fantastic. And you guys are just cool, turned up to 10, man. I can't wait for the next project and have you guys on again, you know? You guys are awesome.
Love it, yeah.
That would be amazing. It was really fun to talk to you.
Yeah. And you guys, too. It's a great film, and I'm so glad. And I'm glad you guys are working with October Coast and whatnot. They are the ones who sent, you know, let me know about it and whatnot.
Yeah.
Find folks over there. And
they're incredible.
Amazing. Oh, yeah. I get a lot of, you know, all kinds of movies from them. But every so often, everybody kind of makes fun of me with my pod. They're like, Jamie, we all know you want to have your little NPR podcast and, you know, talk to cool artsy people.
You need a middleman.
You're going to have to talk about zombie movies first. This is one of my cool artsy podcasts. So it really made me happy. Yeah.
You got to have a long middle name for an NPR show, though.
That's true. And I just don't. Well, very cool. Well, guys, let me ask you this last question. You know, we're all dealing, and you guys are in California now. All we're hearing is the news broadcasts and whatnot. Are you guys okay? Everybody, your people okay out there and whatnot?
Yeah, you know, we're actually in New York right now. We just drove across country. Mm. We're in upstate New York with David's brother. So it's nice to have a change of scenery.
We're gonna be here for a little while through parts of the winter, and yeah, California is getting a little crazy right now, much like the rest of the country. So it's
we got out just in time.
Yeah, just
it's. Well, people are scared, you know, they don't know, and nobody knows. You know, I never saw this coming. I was one of those people who was kind of joking about it when it first started happening. And then it turned to, oh, no, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone thought I don't think anybody thought that it would still be a part of our lives at this point in the year. So it's crazy.
Oh, I know. It's completely. I thought it would be like Ebola or something. Something I saw on the news, which was terrible, and I didn't want anybody, and I didn't want to get it. But it was far away. You know, I didn't know anybody who had Ebola or even came in contact with anything like that.
Yeah. Exactly.
This not so much. This was right here. You know. Oh man, I remember I knew the world was weird when I saw two old ladies at my local grocery store get into they were right at the point. You remember when you were like in college and you'd see like guys, like bro guys, like push each other in the chest? They really wouldn't fight, but they were just kind of posturing,
I
saw two old ladies doing that. I'm like, this is crazy. I got to get out of here.
Was it over like a roll of toilet paper?
No, face masks. The one lady didn't have her nose covered.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, the other old lady was pissed. And it wasn't like a person versus somebody working at the store. It was just two customers. I was at the grocery store. I was buying, you know, vegetables or something. And looking for lychees, whatever those were.
You were in the cereal aisle. You had no idea what the hell it was.
Exactly. Could you put a lychee in a cereal? I guess you could. Cheerio. I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably terrible. Eating, but bananas now. Those are great. Anyhow, guys, thank you so much, David Bly, Leah Rudick. Folks, the film is called Sweet Parents, Sweet Pants. Listen to me, Sweet Parents. You got to see it. It's a fantastic drama. And it's just very, very cool. Keep doing what you're doing, guys. You're real good at it, you know?
Jamie.
Thank you so much.
Jamie, you rock. We really appreciate it.
This was a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you guys have a great day, and, you know, you're starting the weekend off there in upstate New York. I know Cleveland just got hit with a bunch of snow. Hopefully you guys haven't yet either, but it's coming if you're in upstate New York.
We just drove through Cleveland yesterday, so we saw it.
I'm looking forward to it. spice things up a little.
You guys just drove in. Wow.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you made it and everything. That's a long drive.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Very cool. Well, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us today. What a fantastic show. Man, I had a lot of fun. Anyhow, this episode will be converted to a podcast and pushed on all the various social media platforms and on all the podcasting platforms. We're on like 250 of them. It's crazy. You know, the big ones, too. Spotify, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google. You know, we're if they're playing podcasts, I can guarantee you we're probably on it. Or you can always go to my website, jamierocks.us. You know, this is episode 1051. So, yeah, we've got a lot of shows.
Lucky number.
There you go. My wife was just figuring this out the other day. She said, you know, if somebody listened to your show 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they could go through them all. It would take them 45 and a half days. And I'm like, I hope there's nobody out there wanting to do that, because that's crazy, man. That's too much. Oh, man. Anyway, folks, we will be back tomorrow. We've got a very cool show tomorrow. And, man, I can't I'm trying to place the name of it. It's very cool. It's based on a play about Sam Harris, of all people. And it's very, very cool. They made it into a movie, though, and I'm scrolling as we're talking. We've got so many shows coming up. The name of the movie tomorrow that we're going to be talking about is Ham, a Musical Memoir. And, oh, man, why did I even go here, man? Our guest is the director of that film, Mr. Andrew Puchovel, I'm going to say. I'm probably butchering that. I'm not meaning to. But, yeah, it's going to be a theater-type show tomorrow. But, you know, in film as well. So, pinkies out and everything. Join me tomorrow for that. That's at 4 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, that's one out on the West Coast. We will see you then, everybody. Have a great day. And once again, thank you, David and Leah. You guys are awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jamie.
It was a blast.
Have a good one, guys.
Thank you.
Pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks radio talk show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.